and bring your salvation to the ends of the earth. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. A reading from the book of Sirach. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you fire and water. To whichever you choose, stretch forth your hand. Before man are life and death, good and evil. Whichever he chooses shall be given him. Immense is the wisdom of the Lord. He is mighty in power and all-seeing. The eyes of God are on those who fear him. He understands man's every deed. No one does he command to act unjustly, and to none does he give license to sin. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. This God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God. The word of the Lord.
Be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raja,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' For I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord.
The Academy Awards are in 2 weeks. Anybody gonna watch? I think more people watch the Super Bowl. Well, speaking of Academy Awards, we're going to see a clip from a 1966 movie called A Man for All Seasons. It won 6 Academy Awards. And the awards were all major awards. Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, 3 of the 4 majors, Best Writing, Best Costumes, Best Cinematography. I believe it's Hollywood's best movie about a saint. This is about Saint Thomas More. He was martyred during the reign of Henry VIII. You know, famous Henry, Anne Boleyn, 6 wives. In the 1500s, he was martyred in the 1500s for refusing to take an oath. All the Roman Catholic bishops of England, save one, Thomas Fisher, had renounced the authority of the Pope. They declared Henry to be the head of the church in England. Sir Thomas More, Chancellor of England, Henry's friend and second only to Henry in power in England, refused to take the oath. The king had previously declared refusal to take the oath was treason, and the punishment for treason is death. Thomas More could not take the oath because he could not deny the divine authority he believed Jesus gave Peter and his successors. The clip we'll show is the conclusion of the movie. It's the conclusion of the trial that condemned him to a martyr's death. This depicts factual history. Much of the dialogue is part of the historical record. This is Richard Rich.
I do solemnly swear the evidence I shall give before the court shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
He commits perjury, lying under oath.
Sir, help me God.
Now, Rich, On the 12th of May, you were at the Tower?
I was.
For what purpose?
I was sent to carry away the prisoner's books.
Did you talk with the prisoner?
Yes.
Did you talk of the king's supremacy of the church?
Yes.
What did you say?
I said to him, supposing there were an act of parliament to say that I, Richard Rich, were to be king, would not you, Master More, take me for king? That I would, he said. For then you would be king.
Yes.
Then he said, but I will put you a higher case. How if there were an act of parliament to say that God should not be God?
This is true, and then you said...
Continue.
Then I said, I will put you a middle case. Parliament has made our king head of the church. Why will you not accept him?
Well.
Then he said, Parliament had not the power to do it.
Repeat the prisoner's words.
He said, Parliament had not the competence. Or words to that effect.
Oh, he denied the title.
He did.
Thomas was careful never to deny the title.
In good faith, Rich, I am sorrier for your perjury than my peril.
Do you deny this?
Yes. My lords, you know if I were a man who heeded not the taking of an oath, I need not be here. Now I will take an oath. If what Master Rich has said is true, I pray I may never see God in the face, which I would not say were it otherwise for anything on earth.
That is not evidence.
Is it probable? Is it probable that after so long a silence on this the very point so urgently sought of me, I should open my mind to such a man as that?
Sir Richard, do you wish to modify your testimony?
No, my lord.
Is there anything you wish to take away from it?
No, my lord.
Have you anything to add?
No, my lord.
Have you, Sir Thomas?
To what purpose? I am a dead man. You have your will of me.
Then the witness may withdraw.
There is one question I would like to ask the witness. That's a chain of office you're wearing. May I see it? The Red Dragon. What's this?
Sir Richard is appointed Attorney General for Wales.
For Wales? Why, Richard, it profits a man nothing to give his soul for the whole world. But for Wales.
My lords, I have done.
The jury will retire and consider the evidence.
Considering the evidence, it shouldn't be necessary for them to retire. Is it necessary?
That's Thomas Wolseley.
Then is the prisoner guilty or not guilty?
Guilty, my lord.
Sir Thomas More, you have been found guilty of high treason. The sentence of the court...
My lords, when I was practicing law, the manner was to ask the prisoner before pronouncing sentence if he had anything to say.
Have you anything to say?
Yes. Since the court has determined to condemn me, God knoweth how, I will now discharge my mind concerning the indictment and the king's title. The indictment is grounded in an act of Parliament which is directly repugnant to the law of God and his holy church, the supreme government of which no temporal person may by any law presume to take upon him. This was granted by the mouth of our Savior Christ himself to St. Peter and the bishops of Rome whilst he lived and was personally present here on earth. It is therefore insufficient in law to charge any Christian to obey it. And more to this, the immunity of the church is promised both in Magna Carta and in the king's own coronation oath.
Now we plainly see you are malicious.
Not so. I am the king's true subject, and I pray for him and all the realm. I do none harm. I say none harm. I think none harm. And if this be not enough to keep a man alive, then in good faith I long not to live.
Nevertheless, it is not for the supremacy that you have sought my blood, but because I would not bend to the marriage. Been found guilty of high treason.
The sentence of the court is that you be taken from the court to the Tower of London.
Until time and place be appointed for your execution.
The marriage he referred to was Henry's marriage to Anne Boleyn. Of all the people portrayed in this movie, who do you want to be like? You want to be like Richard Rich? Richard Rich was a mouse next to a giant. I doubt there was one person in those magnificent halls of Parliament in Westminster, the scene of the trial, that believed a word of his accusation against Thomas. He was a liar. Astonishingly, Richard went on to become Chancellor of England. One of the best movie lines of all time is when Thomas More says to Richard Rich, Richard says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose their soul? But for Wales? Wales is small, poor, mountainous. It's got more sheep than people. The truth is, soul is often sold for silly, trivial things. Do you want to be like the prosecutor, Thomas Cromwell? He also became Chancellor of England. Henry had him too killed later, by the way. Henry was fickle that way. Thomas Cromwell was corrupt, manipulative, self-serving. Do you want to be like the bishops of England, who were cowards in the face of Henry's threats? Do You want to be like the lords of England, members of parliament, the judges. They didn't judge in justice, they judged in self-interest and convenience. Or would you like to be like Thomas More? I lived in London for 3 years. I often visited the Tower of London where he was jailed and executed. I read a lot about Thomas, talked to the English folks about him. As far as I could tell, even most Anglicans these days, the church Henry founded, respect Thomas More than Henry VIII. But you want to be like Thomas? If you want to be like him, why? Everybody else took the easy way. Thomas paid a price for what he did. I admire him on many levels. On his way to the scaffold, he was offered wine, a common thing for those about to die. He said, "My master was given vinegar, not wine," and refused it. His last words are famous. "I die the king's good servant, but God's first." I want to be more like Thomas More. I pray you do too, but the price is costly. Because he was a man who stood for what was right and what was true. He was a man of actually the civil law and God's law. While we live in an antinomian age, that's the word for today, antinomian. Antinomianism, what does it mean? Anti means against, nomos means law. It's someone who's against the law. Technically, theologically, it's the belief that the moral law, there are no moral laws God expects Christians to obey. Jesus freed us from the obligation to do anything. But it means more than just in a religious context. It can describe our age. We live in an antinomian time. This is a time where people believe you can do whatever you want, where rights just a matter of opinion. God doesn't really exist, or if he does, he doesn't care. Individual freedom is supreme. We're a law unto ourselves. Doing what we want all the time makes us slaves to our passions. Obeying God's law makes us free. Thomas More was stripped of his position. His family was put in poverty. His reputation was slandered. He was thrown in the Tower of London, but he was free in the truest sense, free to love, free to do what was right. One of the only leaders in the land. The truth is that without God's law, there's just chaos. Survival of the fittest. It's about this that all of our readings today speak. Our first reading. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. They will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. He has set before you God's law before you, fire and water. Before man are life and death, good and evil. God's law or chaos? It's the theme of our responsorial psalm. Blessed are they who follow what? The law of the Lord. Instruct me, O Lord, in the ways of your statutes, that I may exactly observe them. So much God's law is, let me get away with as much as I can. Where's the outer boundary? As if it's something bad instead of something good in itself from the heart of God. Our Our second reading, brothers and sisters, we speak a wisdom to those who are mature, not a wisdom of this age. That's amazing. God's law is not from earth. It's from heaven. In the gospel, whoever obeys and teaches these commandments, will be called what? Greatest. And four times in these readings, Jesus goes on to say, the Old Testament says this, but I'm going to tell you this. And it's always a higher standard. Not just dealing with external behavior, but what we are like on the inside, because out of that flows our actions. The world today doesn't like law, doesn't like God's law. They think God's law is arbitrary. God says it's goodness and mercy verbalized. The world says God's law is to be avoided and manipulated. God says he wants to write it on our hearts. The devil says the law of God is depriving you of something good. God says the devil has been using that line since the Garden of Eden. And it's still working. Don't believe it. God's law is thoroughly good. If we perceive it as less than that, then we're not understanding something. We need more people like St. Thomas more, don't we? The world's desperate for saints. By virtue of your baptism in this Eucharist, God's calling you to be a saint. Be a saint, that means love God and love his law. Love what he teaches. Love what he says. For God's sake, for your sake, for the sake of those you love, for the sake of the desperate world that needs holiness so badly, love God and love his law. Understand it. Speak of it. In the words of the first reading, God sets before you fire and water, life and death, good and evil. What do you choose? Choose to love God's law. It's the wisdom of heaven on earth. And this Eucharist is spiritual food for those who choose to love his law.